Okay, I want to talk about Numbers chapter 22. And so if you want to turn there, we may go in and out of it and a few other verses. But this was last week's Torah portion, but you know, I'm a little behind because I didn't get to teach last week, did I? No, so I have to do it this week. So I'm a little backwards, back behind y'all. How many of you would agree with me that God's ways are the best? Okay, how many of you that agree God's ways are the best could also say with me that knowing God's ways are best hasn't always meant you chose God's way over your own way? Even though you would admit God's ways are best, you chose your own way anyway, seemed like. There's a big difference between saying and doing. Yeah, most of us have good intentions about serving God. But when it comes to sin and the subject of obedience, good intentions just don't cut it. Someone once said, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The story this week is about a semi-religious man who had some good intentions but very poor follow-through. He had one foot in religion and one foot in the world, meaning he rode a fence, right? He reminds me of Paul's prophetic description of those who will be living in the last days. It says in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. You know anybody like that? A little background information on this guy. His name is, you call him Balaam, don't you? Bilaam is crucial to your understanding of the rest of the story. The more you know about him, the more insight it will give you concerning why he made the decisions he made and why God dealt with him the way he did. Let me give you his short bio. I can't speak. Why am I up here? I can't even speak half the time. Balaam was not Jewish. Y'all can identify with that, right? He was a foreigner from Mesopotamia. It's already starting. Balaam was not a righteous man. Many people in his day considered him a prophet, but he was not. At least not in the biblical sense. He was a sorcerer, sort of Far Eastern witch doctor. Someone called upon to place curses on people. I hex you. Religion was his business, wasn't his lifestyle. Belief in curses and blessing was common in those days. Sorcerers were thought to have power with the gods. So the king of Moab wanted Balaam to use his powers with the God of Israel to place a curse on Israel, hoping that by magic, God would turn against his people. Obviously, neither Balaam nor Balak had any idea who they were dealing with. In them days, people felt that you could change God's mind because they had all these gods they could twist and manipulate all the time. So figured here's just another one. We can do him like we do ours. Interestingly enough, Balaam was willing to acknowledge that the God of the Israelites was indeed a very powerful God, but he did not believe he was the only true God. He also believed that gods would change their minds. His story exposes the deception of maintaining an outward facade of authority, spirituality rather, over a corrupt inward life. Balaam was ready to obey God's commands as long as he could earn a profit from doing so. Does that sound familiar to anybody here? Boy. Although he realized the awesome power of Israel's God, his heart was occupied with the wealth he could gain in Moab. Regarding this story by itself might lead us to believe he turned completely to God, but later passages in the Bible show that he couldn't resist the tempting pull of money and idolatry. This mixture of motives, obedience, and profits would eventually lead to his death. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, that was Balaam. So close, yet so far away. He had some knowledge of God, but not enough to forsake his magic and turn wholeheartedly to God. He knew God's way was the best way, but he had his own agenda. One other thing about him before we move on. If you're like me, you might read the story and scratch your head, wondering why God would speak through or use a sorcerer like Balaam. So here's why. First, God wanted to give a message to the Moabites, and they had already chosen to employ this guy. So he was available for God to use, much as God used the wicked Pharaoh back in Egypt to accomplish his will, or Caesar to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem so his son could be born there, according to the prophecy. God's plans will be accomplished no matter what. God can use someone who could care less about him to accomplish his purposes. He does that all the time. Second, I believe that God was giving Balaam a chance, as he does with every one of us, to turn to him. He wants all of us to turn to him. Throughout the course of our lives, God will try numerous times to get our attention because he loves us. God ever got your attention? Time and time again, some of us. The question is, will we be listening when he calls? Balaam had a direct encounter with God himself, an incredible opportunity to get his life on track, but he blew it. God had a plan and he was in it, but Balaam had his own plan. So there are some definite reasons why a person gets out of the will of God. Sometimes we wouldn't recognize God's will if it hit us in the face, because we aren't paying attention, or we just aren't plain interested. Or we see it but choose to ignore it because we have our own agenda. What does a story about a man and his talking mule have to do with God's will? Weird. Well, God uses a donkey and a detour to teach Balaam a lesson in divine direction. And I believe as we look in on the story, these same lessons can help us. First thing to know is that when God asks you to do something, he's looking for complete and absolute obedience. When God asks you to do something, he wants your obedience. God gave Balaam a clear directive. Don't go with them. You must not put a curse on these people because they are blessed. God didn't stutter. He gave his instructions in a way that they could be easily understood. There was no question about what he meant or wanted. Reminds me of Jonah, chapter 1, 1 and 2. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, go to the great city Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Like Jonah, Balaam didn't get into trouble because God didn't give good directions. He got into trouble because he didn't follow them. There wasn't a problem with misunderstanding or misinterpretation. There was a problem with obedience. When God says it, you should do it. Don't ask questions. Don't try to manipulate things to suit you. Just do it. Who says that? Nike? Do it. Balaam understood God perfectly. Let me show you what really happened. The first time Balak's delegation came and tried to hire him, Balaam had no problem doing the right thing. Read verse 13 there. It says, the next morning, Balaam got up and said to Balak's princes, go back to your own country, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you. Now notice some key pieces of information that are easily overlooked. Verse 5, Balak sent other princes more numerous and more distinguished than the first. Verse 17, because I will reward you handsomely and do whatever you say, come and put a curse on these people for me. The second time around, Balak sweetened the deal. He sent a larger group, a more distinguished group, and he sent his top agent and offered to renegotiate Balaam's contract. with incentive clauses and a special signing bonus that would make him the highest paid sorcerer in the NSA, National Sorcerers Association. You've been there. They have a Hall of Fame in somewhere in Ohio. Look what Balaam said, verse 19. Tell you what, guys, why don't you spend the night and I'll go find out what else the Lord has to say. Now, it doesn't tell us what Balaam said to the Lord, but I have a feeling it was one of those arm-twisting kind of prayers where you act like you're interested in doing the right thing, but in reality, you've made up your mind about what you're going to do. You know what I'm talking about. One of those prayers where you let God in on your plans and tell him what's best for your life. You do that? Yeah, you do. Trying to get God's will to line up with your own. God's not in line with what I'm thinking here. There was no need to pray. God's plan was already perfectly clear. He had not changed his mind. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Guess who made that quote? Balaam did. One chapter later in verse 19 of chapter 23, as God spoke through him to Balak. When God asks you to do something, he's looking for your obedience, not your interpretation. Don't be surprised if the enemy comes to test your resolve when God gives you direction. Satan is smart. The adversary is smart. If he doesn't succeed at first in trying to get you to compromise, he'll come back later and sweeten the pot. He'll try to make you believe you can have God's way and your own way at the same time. Man, don't buy that. When God asks you to do something, he is looking for absolute obedience. If you compromise on God's will, don't complain about the final outcome. Do you ever get a call from a telemarketer? All the time, especially when you're eating. They call, and then you tell them no, and then they go into some other thing because they want you to say yes. My daughter used to be a telemarketer. She sold Sports Illustrated subscriptions for a living. Made a lot of money, didn't she, Melissa? 20 cents a week. But she said that they have to get two no's before they can hang up and terminate the call. So I always answer the phone, no, no. Because they always try to sweeten the deal after you refuse them the first time. That's what Satan does. Sometimes God punishes us by letting us have our own way. Whoa, how many of you would be honest and admit with me that there have been times when you have compromised God's will for your life? Even when we compromise and do our own thing, God still loves us enough that he doesn't give up on us. So learn this. It's in verse 22. When we get out of God's will, he will often put roadblocks in the way to get our attention. God let Balaam go with Balak's messengers. He was about as angry about Balaam's greedy attitude, though. Balaam claimed that he would not go against God just for money, but his resolve was beginning to slip. His greed for the wealth offered by the king blinded him so that he could not see how God was trying to stop him. Though we may know what God wants us to do, we can become blinded by the desire for money, for possessions, for prestige, power, whatever. Sometimes God, like he did with Balaam, will stand in the road to oppose us if he doesn't like the way we're doing or handling things. He loves us so much that he tries to get us to turn around if we're going the wrong way, or to rethink things if our approach is wrong. He just doesn't abandon us when we disobey. God won't do that. He keeps trying to get through to us before we hurt ourselves. If you get out of the will of God, he won't let you go without putting a couple of stop signs. STOP, skid tires on pavement, signs in the road to try and get your attention. Problem is, if you're already in cruise control, you might not even see them. And if you do, they may only irritate you. Oh, I hate stop signs. Here, I have to use my brakes. I hate that. Here comes old Balaam down the road, so sure of himself, so confident of his mission. Perhaps I should say he's overconfident. And God wants to have a little talk with him. But he doesn't have time for it. I got no time to talk to God. Ever notice how we always have time for God when we want or need something? Man, I got all this time I got to talk to God about these things I need. But now God wants a minute of our time. And Balaam is getting perturbed, you know? Irritated, ticked off, miffed. He's got places to go, things to do, and people to see. My favorite three expressions in my life. I've got to go. I got things to do, places to be, people to see. I say that a lot. I guess I should be preaching to myself here. Where am I? Oh, how many of you get frustrated when things don't go according to your plan? Man, I've got it all planned out, and I get so mad. I even yell at cars in front of me. Get out of my way! This road is mine! They made it for me. I sat through them widening it to four lanes so you could move over, not so you could be in front of me. It took them 3 years to widen Q Street from one lane. And I patiently waited for that to happen so that you could drive in the right lane so I could drive in the left lane, which is mine. I own the left lane. Doesn't that happen to you? There's nothing worse than being in a hurry to get somewhere and you run out of gas, make a wrong turn, get lost, or you have car trouble. Oh my God, how could cars break down? They're not supposed to. Car problems can really get you upset. Know what I'm talking about? They take you out of your comfort zone. You're no longer in control. You're embarrassed. You're sweating. You're worrying. You're sitting there on the side of the road and everybody's driving by looking at you, going, ah! Yeah, you do that in Wyoming, didn't you? Yeah, what am I going to do? How much is this going to cost? Who can I call for help? How are we going to get there? More than one person has lost their religion over a flat tire. Balaam is about to experience transportation problems. And for a supposedly spiritual guy, he doesn't handle it too well. He's about to make a real donkey of himself. Didn't use that other word, did I? Let's review. Balaam has heard but disobeyed God. It appears he's doing the right thing, but he's doing it the wrong way and for the wrong reasons. It's called compromise. He's covering up his own agenda with a spiritual game plan. So God opposes him, and in an attempt to get his attention, sends an angel as a roadblock. Verse 23, the donkey sees the angel standing in the road with his sword drawn, big knife drawn, and he goes off the road. What does Balaam do? He gets down, kicks up some dirt with his toe, and proceeds to beat her. You ever beat your car? I wonder what he said while he tried to change that flat tire. The more we develop a secular mindset through disobedience, the more God's will and his attempts to get us back on course become a source of irritation to us. So you should know that when God puts a roadblock in your path, don't give someone else a beating for it. Many times God tries to get our attention and we just won't listen, so he backs off and allows something to happen we aren't too thrilled about, hoping we'll come back. We'll come back and say, "Hey God, what's going on? Did I do something wrong?" Urkel used to say, "Did I do that?" I don't remember how he said it. But instead of listening to reason, pride and anger well up, we get irritated by our problems and take it out on some innocent victim. Let's go beat up on that person over there. Someone's just standing around minding their own business, an innocent bystander, and you blow in a rage without even thinking, you go off on them. Ever happen? "You lousy lowlife. Why do you such and such? I had a stinking flat tire on the way to work this morning and it's your fault. You should have checked it before I left. Why didn't you? If you weren't so lazy, it wouldn't have happened." How many times have you beat the wrong horse when God was specifically trying to get your attention? When we strike out at innocent people who get in our way, it can be a sign that something is wrong with us. Don't let your own hurt, pride, disobedience lead you to hurt others. Boy, whenever I felt that way, I always felt like I was crazy, that I should go see a psychiatrist because there's something wrong with my mind. But I understand that most people do that. So not only am I not normal, I'm insane like everybody else. So I am normal. And I always thought normal was just a setting on a washing machine. Yay, I'm normal. I'm like everybody else. I'm crazy. Yeah, we all do that. There's something we all do. Donkeys in those days were ATVs, all-purpose vehicles, right? All-terrain vehicles for transportation. They carried loads. They ground grain. They plowed fields. Kind of like a pickup truck nowadays for farmer, right? They were usually highly dependable, which explains why Balaam got so angry when his donkey refused to move. It is often a dependable friend who sticks their neck out, perhaps risking their friendship to say the difficult things to us when we're drifting, and we don't like it. Look at this. Three times, Balaam beats up his reliable old donkey because he was too wrapped up in himself to see the roadblock God put right in front of him, verses 23, 25, and 27. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, she turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat her to get back on the road. 24, then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between two vineyards with walls on both sides. 25, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat her again. 26, then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn either to the right or to the left. 27, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, and he was angry, and he beat her with his staff the third time. He got his staff out, and he's going nuts. He's going off on her. He's red in the face. He's spitting. He's cursing. "You cotton-picking good for nothing. Stupid-looking mule, take that, I'll kill you and make you into glue, you ignorant piece of junk. You're dead, you hear me? My children will be gluing school projects together with you when I get home." I knew I should have gotten that newer model. And right there in the middle of Balaam's little donkey-beaten hissy fit, God opens that donkey's mouth and it starts talking. It's like watching Mr. Ed. "Yeah! What on earth have you done to me to make you beat me these three times?" And Balaam, one of the wisest of men, proceeds to have a conversation with one of the most ignorant animals on the face of the earth. "Yeah! Verse 29, Balaam answered the donkey, "You made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." And the donkey said to Balaam, I am not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day. Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? No, he said. When his counseling session was concluded, the Lord opened Balaam's eyes so he could see what he'd been missing. Wonder who felt like a donkey then. When God opens our eyes and we see how far off course we've gotten, we are faced with a crucial decision. Turn back to God or defy him and go further down the road to destruction. So now you need to understand, and this is from verse 31 and 34 and 33. Once you recognize your mistake, humble yourself. Ask forgiveness of those you have hurt. Repent. And the next time around, don't be so mule-headed. Humble yourself. Balaam bowed low and he fell face down. Balaam learned an embarrassing lesson at the hands of the donkey that had greater spiritual insight than he did. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Pride will separate you from God. In defiance, you will stand against his will for your life, refusing to back down, refusing to admit your wrong, refusing to humble yourself. When you recognize your mistake, don't stand up and fight. Fall down on your knees and humble yourself before your Almighty God. Verse 33, ask forgiveness of those you have hurt. Balaam owed his faithful donkey an apology. In anger and blinded by greed, he beat up an innocent party that was trying to save his life. Perhaps there is someone in your life you've treated harshly. Someone who loved you enough to try and step in between you and the danger you were heading for. When God turns you around, the first thing you should do is find them and apologize for hurting them. Thank them for caring enough to say and do the right thing when it cost them. Verse 34 talks about repentance. Don't just feel bad, do what's right. Verse 38, I must say, go do only what God tells me to do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Repentance isn't just a temporary right turn. It's a permanent 180. A turning away from going the opposite direction in attitude and obedience. Turn your face toward heaven. Give your heart fully to God. All your ambition, your wants, your secret desires, lay them down. I have a poem here I found. Are you tired of chasing pretty rainbows? And are you tired of spinning round and round? Wrap up all the shattered dreams of your life at the feet of Yeshua, lay them down. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Yeshua. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, and broken toys. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Yeshua, and he will in turn, he will turn your heartaches into joys. Amen. Amen. Thank you.